York City to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Yeah, here we are. Welcome to the big radio show on this Monday, the 23rd day of April, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. And normally we're breaking format instead of the typical talk format. We're more into news mode today because of the fact that there was a apprehension of the shooter from Nashville. He's in custody, thank goodness. Still lots of questions to be answered in all of that. But then, at the same time that they got the guy in custody up in Toronto, a rental van jumped the curb and started mowing down pedestrians on a very busy street in Toronto. A witness told police that there are 8 to 10 people that were hit, according to the Toronto police. The Toronto law enforcement is saying that the crash appears to be deliberate. There's no question about it. This is a van that went down. It's a very wide street. It's 3 lanes each direction with a little center strip, not very wide, in the middle of it. So it's a fairly busy thoroughfare. For those of you that know Toronto, it was on Yonge Street near Finch Avenue. And so very wide street, 3 lanes each direction. And then the sidewalk has a tiny little curb. And the sidewalk is a couple of lanes wide. It's a very wide sidewalk. And that's where this white Ryder van went, mounted the curb and started hitting pedestrians and went for a half a mile to a mile, according to authorities. So a number of people severely injured. There are others that are underneath blankets. We presume that those are fatalities, but they're not telling us any numbers of how many people were hit, how many people are injured, how many people have died. But it appears that this is an attack. It was intentional. So here we go again. And we just come off of the story about some nut job in Nashville going in with a high-powered rifle and shooting people. What's the difference between dead from a high-powered rifle and dead from a van driving, hitting you on a sidewalk? Dead is dead. And the instrument of which they use to attack, I don't think it really matters. I mean, what are you going to do? Outlaw vans? Outlaw vehicles? I mean, I've noticed that here in New York, they've gone around with a whole bunch of these big concrete barriers that they usually use to block the streets around Times Square on New Year's Eve and around the Christmas tree lighting and things like that, but they've got them all over the place now because somebody's been sent out to assess where can a car come. And I think in your city and every city, there are plenty of places where if somebody was intent on killing, they could easily jump the curb and start mowing down people. So we have some eyewitnesses to this. This is a young couple talking to Canadian television just a few moments ago.
Asu, what did you see?
I just in the Starbucks and saw there's a white truck just go to the sidewalk and so many people just shouting stop the car, but he didn't. He just keep moving and he hated some people and 3 people lie down there and they didn't move at all.
So the car just kept hitting people. Yeah. Do you think it was on purpose or did it look like it was on purpose?
I think it's on purpose because if the car doesn't work, he should like hit the car or something so he can stop, but he just goes through the sidewalk, not the...
So the car started hitting here or was it up there? Where did he start hitting?
What I saw is because I'm in the suburbs, so I think he's starting here because I didn't go over there.
Okay, and this is Parkholme Avenue, is that right, what it's called here?
Yes.
So Parkholme and Young. Okay, so you saw him starting hitting people here, mm-hmm. and continue to go down on the sidewalk. Was he driving on the road?
On the sidewalk.
He was driving on the sidewalk. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. I didn't get your name.
Emma.
All right. There's a couple of eyewitnesses, young couple that was walking in the area. Then this guy comes out of a building, and this is what he saw.
Hi, yes, I was just leaving my building here at 5460 Yonge Street. I had just stepped out and lit a cigarette. When I did that, I turned up my head and I saw the van hit a man walking through the intersection. It was a green light, and he actually rolled into the road. So at that point, I ran into the middle of the road and I stopped all the cars, and then just pandemonium broke loose. Just everyone was going crazy. That was pretty much all that I saw. And we stayed with the man to make sure he was okay and no other cars were going to run over him.
Was he okay?
He was conscious, yeah. He couldn't move. His eyes were closed. But he hung in there. Surprising enough, yeah, he hung in there. So I hope it's going to be all right. And the officers asked me to come up to the intersection up here to see if anyone else had been hit. I saw about three or four bodies lying on the ground. Other people were getting CPR. Then I had to go back and relay that information to them. And that was pretty much it. I just hung out with the cops for about half an hour and just gave some witness information. So,
can you tell me what the scene looked like when you were walking through it?
It was just clear as day, just an ordinary day walking, and just saw the guy get hit by a van. That was it. Hard pieces of the van were flying everywhere. And like I said, I turned my head to make sure there were no cars coming so he didn't get run over again. And I just held there. That was all that I could do.
Did you take a good look at the driver?
Didn't see the driver at all, no. In fact, I didn't really even see the van. It just happened so quickly. My main concern was for the man on the road.
How fast would you say he was going?
I don't know. I'd probably say about 60, 70 kilometers an hour. Hard to say. I mean, I just saw the guy go flying, and I heard the bang, and just wanted to stop traffic. That's all I wanted to do. So that's it.
Did you see him hit anybody else?
I did not, no. No, I didn't. But I saw a lot of people lying on the sidewalk that were in pools of blood, and I was told there were more people further down there. Apparently he's been caught, so that's all I have.
And where exactly did you see him hit someone?
Oh, right at the intersection. The man was walking through the intersection at Young and Kemford. It was just while he was in the middle of the intersection, and the van just went right into him, plowed right into him. And then apparently he drove down further, and he went onto the sidewalk by the next building, and he hit more people there and just kept going.
Did he go onto the sidewalk, yes, or was he on the road?
Well, the man that I saw get hit was crossing the street, so he was on the road. But as he went further down, it must have gone on the sidewalk, because there were people on the sidewalk that got hit.
Did it look like the man that was hit had broken bone?
He couldn't move. He could just barely move a little bit. There was a little bit of blood, but he looked like he was all right. I'm surprised. He got hit really hard.
And how old was he, would you say?
I'd say maybe about 55 years old.
So, what were you doing here today?
Well, I was just going down to North York Center. I just stopped to have a cigarette. If I hadn't have done that, I probably would have been killed as well. I would have been right there with that guy.
So he mowed down somebody crossing the street and then jumped the sidewalk and went down and started mowing down people on the street. Then one more eyewitness. This is Ali Shaker talking to Canadian TV while he was driving his car when he saw the rider van jumped the sidewalk and start mowing down people.
Then I seen him go ahead. I thought he had a heart attack or something, so I was trying to chase it down in a way, almost try to catch up to see what happened. All I seen is this guy is just crumbling. I mean, he's going 70, 80 clicks. He's just hitting people one by one, going down. Oh man, it was like, it's a nightmare, man. I got to Young and Empress, and I seen a lady with her leg, and oh man, it was a gruesome scene. It's really bad out there. I couldn't believe what I seen, man. It was like, oh man, everybody, all these people on the streets getting hit one by one, post office box getting crumbled up on people, and one person got dragged on, and their blood is all over Young and Empress. It's really bad out there, man. I'm so shaky. I'm still dying from this. I can't believe this is happening. This is like unbelievable. This is so unbelievable.
Was he swerving towards people?
He just went on the sidewalk. He just started hitting everybody, man. He hit every single person on the sidewalk. Anybody in his way, he would hit. The bus stop, everything got shattered. There was a lady in there that I saw. I just stopped and I looked and I went after it again. All I see is just crumbling up one by one, one by one. Holy God, I've never seen a scene like this in my life, I swear.
Yeah, so you can hear the man is very shaken up by what he saw, rightfully. Interesting that our Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, is in Toronto as part of a G7 security ministers meeting, which is set to conclude tomorrow. So who knows? We don't know what this guy's motive was, but by everybody's description, it was pretty clear this guy wasn't having a heart attack. It wasn't an accident. He was aiming for people and mowing them down with a van. So I think it's one of these stories where you compare and contrast. You've got people that are mentally ill that somehow got a gun or guns back from his father and went from Illinois to Tennessee to shoot up people at 3 o'clock in the morning in a Waffle House. Then you have whoever this guy is. I'm going to bet you, but we don't know, pure speculation, that this is some jihadi wannabe that decides to go off and do something on his own. A lone wolf, if you want to call him that. They're never lone. There's always some connection. But this is a copycat of the same thing that happened here in New York on Halloween back on October 31st, where there were a bunch of tourists and a bunch of bicyclists that were riding along the West Side Highway. And a guy with a jihadi mentality ran them down. So the driver is in custody. The police, there was one police officer that was right there and brought the guy into custody. And there's one report of where somebody heard a gunshot. There's another report of the fact that the driver pointed his gun at the police. But we'll have to take our do we have time to get it in now? Okay, let's do this. This is the guy pointing his arm at the well, you go ahead and play it. We'll listen to it together.
Come on, get down! Come on, get down! Get down!
I'm cutting my pocket!
Wow. So he's one officer, one police officer took him into custody, ordered him to get on the ground. He kept yelling, "I have a gun in my pocket. I have a gun in my pocket. Get down, get down." He put him in cuffs, brought him into custody. So now we'll have to wait to find out what this is all about. You want to comment? The phone number is 855-295-6600.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Well, we're just getting snippets of what's going on in Toronto. The driver of this van that mowed down, they're saying 8 to 10 people. Now they're talking about multiple fatalities in Toronto. That there's a video from a high-rise. Somebody up in a tall building looking down, and it looks like the one police officer is ordering this guy to get down on the ground. The guy is walking with something in his hand toward the police officer. The police officer is backing up, and then something changes. The guy backs up. The police officer starts moving toward him, and down on the ground he goes. And then was cuffed by the police. So was it was the guy moving towards the police officer because he wanted to be shot? I don't know. It's still early. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Very puzzling video coming out of Toronto. Joe in California. Joe, hi. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon.
You're in sunny California, don't you?
It's sunny and beautiful. It's sunny and beautiful in New York.
Okay, besides the weather, my comment is that Western society is actually turning like this because we're such a divided country now that people feel so one in and at the other. We keep dropping our guard. You know, we're just allowing all these things to happen. And guess what? People are getting sick and tired of society now, and you're going to start seeing more and more of it. I mean, this kind of reminds me of the Vietnam era. Well, how society was then as it is now.
Yes, there was the pro-war, the anti-war movement, but Yeah, no, there's a deeper division, it seems like, today than then. It really does. That was about a specific complaint about the Vietnam War. This is just about everything in general. It's a much broader complaint, I think, today than it was back in the 1970s.
Absolutely. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when people get so divided like that, there were so many on two different sides of the fence, so to speak, it's that same kind of mentality that I'm seeing now. People are so divided now that you're seeing this kind of, I'm going to take care of these folks, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And a lot of anger, a lot of pop-ups of from the kids all the way up to the adults.
Yes. And there's a lot of anger, but I think in these two cases, in one case, you've got somebody that is very mentally disturbed. Mental illness has been around for a long time. The question that might be, is mental illness more prevalent today than it was before? I don't know. Stress on society. Everybody says society is moving faster, but they've been saying that for as long as I can remember. So you've got a mentally ill person, and you have somebody that has some sort of political agenda up in Canada that it appears to be at this point. We'll get more details. But I don't know.
Remember, you were just talking about him walking towards the officer. I was thinking about that. I was in the military before myself, and if I had somebody walking up to me, you don't know what this person's carrying. It could be, explosive device or whatnot. And so I think the officer was probably backing up on that kind of pretense. And then once the gentleman said, I have a gun in my pocket, he knew that he could actually, take this guy and stop and get him down.
Well, then he complied. So I don't know if he was trying to get shot in the first part of that video or whether... I don't know what he was doing. That's the confusion about it, but he was walking toward the officer. If the officer has a gun pulled and pointed at you and says, get on the ground, and you start walking toward the officer, there's a good chance you're going to get shot. So I think it was probably in the officer's mind one of those momentarily quick decisions where he decided not to shoot him, but... It may be one of those suicide by cop desires, but if that's all it is, I'll be surprised. But Joe, thank you. I do appreciate your call. It appears to be a copycat of what we have seen in Nice, France, in a variety of New York, a variety of places where people. Wasn't there a Christmas fair in Germany, I believe it was. There was another one of those that they mowed down people. So that appears to be a copycat of what we have seen in the past that has been radical Islamists that have been behind it. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, somebody that is devoted to that sort of ideology. Big news day, crazy news day today. We'll be right back.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Hello, world. Happy Monday to you. We've got basically a breaking format to some extent with a couple of big news stories. The shooter in Nashville at the Waffle House has been taken into custody so that the people of Nashville can breathe a sigh of relief. And the hero there, man, he saved lives. He saved lots of lives. Then in Toronto, we got this van that I just saw another video of the arrest. And we can't tell you what the motive is. It looks very much like it was intentional, but when this video picks up, shows the driver of the van outside the van. The van is on the sidewalk. He steps out of the van on the sidewalk, standing next to the van, and one police officer, is yelling for him to get down. But it looks like if you watch the video, it is clear the driver is asking the police to shoot him in the head, apparently. This is from heavy.com. Driver's asking police to shoot him in the head. It shows that the guy gets out, has something in his hands, points his arm straight out like he's got a gun and he's going to shoot the police officer. I am beyond surprised that this guy wasn't shot. He's got his hand out, looks like he's got a gun in his hand. He's pointing it at the police officer. Then, as the police are telling him to get on the ground, this one police officer, he takes into almost a firing position where he moves his other hand up, and whatever he's got in his hand, which turns out to be apparently nothing more than a cell phone, but he's holding it like a gun, and then he brings his other hand up and grasps the black item in his hand as if he's in a firing position and walking toward the police officer. The guy's arm was extended toward the police officer with the black object still in his hand. The officer approached him. The man drops the object and gets down on his knees. The officer then places him in the handcuffs. No shots were fired. The suspect's name has not yet been released. But, wow, that was pretty close to where I would have thought that he was going to fire something. It had a black object in his hand, and then the other hand comes up to create a position. And according to Heavy, they say that this guy was asking to be shot in the head. He can be heard saying, "I have a gun in my pocket." We don't know if it's a cell phone. I don't know what it is. It's a black object. So he was, I don't know if this is just some, again, mentally disturbed person or whether it is some sort of Islamic jihadist. We'll find out as we work through the day here. But that was one scary moment for the police officer, and the fact that he didn't shoot the guy is amazing. It looked like attempted suicide by cop. But why did he mow down all those other people? Well, why did the guy at the Waffle House shoot innocent people? Mentally disturbed people are not thinking rationally. I am very surprised he didn't get shot on this one. All right, let me throw a couple of other things on the pile here. Because on Friday, we told you about a shooting that took place near Ocala, Florida, at a high school. And I told you on Friday, the only information we had at the time was that somebody had shot through a door in the high school, and that a student on the other side of the door was hit in the ankle. Was not life-threatening, was shot in the ankle, and the shooter was in custody, and the boy that was hit was brought to the hospital, again, with non-life-threatening injuries. So now we get, during a jail interview, the guy who did the shooting is 19 years of age, and this is why he shot through the door of this high school classroom. Cut five.
That was my primary goal, because I knew if I didn't, you know, snap now, it would have been later and it would have been 100 times worse. I prepared to go and scare people and put my shotgun in my guitar case and just put my tactical vest in my backpack and went to force. A girl passed right by me. I just didn't want to shoot or kill people, because at that point, the adrenaline and the excitement kind of just faded immediately.
So he's in the school. He says his goal, I didn't hear the first part of that, his goal was to be taken to jail. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be taken to jail. That's why he shot through the high school door. and he wanted to scare people, but he did not want to kill people. But what he admitted was, he says, I wanted basically go to jail because of the fact that it's going to get, it would have been a lot worse, 100 times worse, if he wasn't brought into custody now. In other words, he feels like he's somehow falling apart mentally, and that he probably would have become a shooter and shot a lot of people later on. So he wanted to do something big enough but small enough so that he would be taken into custody. Let's see if we can get the first part of that again, and this part about how it would have gotten a lot worse later. Let's hear it again.
That was my primary goal, because I knew if I didn't, you know, snap now, it would have been later, and it would have been 100 times worse.
Okay, if I didn't snap now, it would have been 100 times worse later. Well, here's a guy who knows I am not right. I need to be taken into custody. It reminds me of the kid at Parkland who everybody said he needs help. He even said, I need help, and nothing was done. So this kid literally takes a shotgun to the high school in a guitar case and shoots the thing and hurts a kid, not meaning to hurt anybody. Is that what it takes to get thrown in jail and get some help? He's basically crying out for help. It would have been 100 times worse if I wasn't taken in custody now. That's what that kid is saying. And I got one more for you. This is from the New York Times. Friday was where a lot of the schools around the country had kids walk out. We played a clip on Friday of a young lady who said that the principal actually held the door open for the kids so they could leave. The danger in that, and why a lot of schools said, no, you can't walk out. I'm sorry, but I've always followed the money. They get paid by attendance. But the other danger is they may be liable. And this is the story. An 11-year-old boy in El Paso was struck and killed by a pickup truck while his school held a walkout to protest gun violence. The boy was with a group of 12 to 15 other students in El Paso from Parkland Middle School. And they decided not to participate in the walkout, but instead left the campus to visit a park on the other side of a busy highway. This 11-year-old boy was struck and killed as everybody was leaving the school for the gun violence walkout. It seems to happen whenever they have one of these unauthorized protests. Some kid will get out there and get hurt somewhere. 855-295-6600 is the phone number. We'll take a short break and be right back. Don't go away.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
All right, let's go up to Toronto, where the Deputy Police Chief, Peter Ewan, is just addressing the media now on the van that ran down a number of people on a Toronto sidewalk. Let's listen.
Acting Chief Peter Ewan, I'm here to relay some information to you as to what happened today on Yonge Street. Approximately 1:30 this afternoon, Toronto Police received a number of calls from citizens indicating a vehicle was driving on Yonge Street and striking a number of pedestrians between Finch Avenue and Shepherd Avenue. At this time, what is known to us is we have located that vehicle. The driver is in custody right now, and he's been investigated to the events that took place this afternoon. I also want to offer my condolences to the families and the victims of this tragic event that took place. We can confirm for you tonight, right now, we have 9 people that are dead, 16 that are injured. Toronto Police Service has mobilize all available resources, and I can assure the public all our available resources have been brought in to address this tragic situation and to investigate this situation. And I also want to assure the public, the rest of the city are adequately policed by our other resources. As the mayor said earlier, we will be establishing two hotlines. One is for victims and families to call for the loved ones. The other one is for, more importantly, for witnesses to call in, because this is going to be a complex investigation. Toronto Police Service will be here for a number of days to shut down a busy stretch of Toronto, but this what is required, because this is going to be a long investigation with multiple witnesses, with a lot of surveillance cameras, and namely, at 1:30 this afternoon, there were a lot of pedestrians out enjoying, a lot of witnesses enjoying the sunny afternoon, so we're urging anyone that saw anything, please call Crime Stoppers or call Toronto Police Service and let us know. Those two hotlines numbers will be published very shortly on our website, through our social media, our Twitter. So please stay tuned. The chief is on his way back to Toronto. He will be addressing the media later on tonight. So there will be more information to follow later on tonight. At this stage, I ask the City of Toronto, pray for our victims, and also to assist the Toronto Police Service in bringing this matter to a successful conclusion. As I stated earlier, we have one person in custody and the investigation is ongoing. That's all I'm prepared to say right now. Thank you.
All right, so that's the deputy police chief in Toronto. You heard what he said. 9 are dead. 16 are injured. This is... Again, it's too early to say what it is. It looks like a copycat of some of the jihadi attacks with vehicles. But we don't know that. We don't have any idea what the motivation was. And the thing that throws us completely into another category, possibly, of a mentally ill person, is the fact that the driver got out of the truck when he was finally stopped by Toronto police. One police officer facing him down. He raises his arm and points at the police officer with something in his hand, a black object in his hand. The police tell him to get on the ground. He doesn't get on the ground. He raises his other hand up to his left hand up to his right hand with both arms extended in a shooting position. And one report is that he asked for police to shoot him in the head. They ordered him on the ground. He got on the ground. He decided to all of a sudden comply, got on the ground, gave up the whatever he had in his hand, and was handcuffed and taken into custody. So here it is, and as you heard the police chief say, it's the Northeast. We have a big high-pressure system over us. It's been a beautiful weekend. It's a gorgeous day today. It's very spring-like. And so sunny and bright and nice, and people are a lot of people out on the sidewalks, and that's what happened in Toronto. So 9 dead, 16 injured. Don't know the motive. We'll find out later. We don't know the answer to the guy that shot up the Waffle House, what his theory was other than mental illness, because he's been... in the past, looking for, his family's been looking for help regarding his mental illness. This guy, we have no idea. One guy in a Ryder van. That's all we can tell you. And then we've got that, like I said, the 19-year-old that shot a shotgun at a high school door on Friday. And at the jailhouse interview, he said to reporters, that was my goal, was to be taken into custody before it got 100 times worse. He had to go into a school and shoot a gun before anybody would say, oh, okay, we're here to help you. And I'm sorry, but it just reverberates right back to Broward County, where the kid who did the shooting at the high school, Parkland High School, so many people tried to get him help. So many people tried to say he was dangerous. Even the kid himself said, I need help. Nobody helped him. So this kid walks into a school and fires a shotgun. Luckily, nobody died. One other child, one kid hurt. So that's where we are. That's the news of the day. We'll find out later what the motives are behind all of this. But this method of killing people while you're walking down a sidewalk, I don't know how you protect yourself against that. I really don't. I mean, you can't go around barricading every single sidewalk. I'm looking at a photo of the van sitting on the sidewalk in Toronto, and the curb is a tiny little curb, and the sidewalk is very wide, lots of room for lots of pedestrians. Fire chief said earlier that the van drove a half a mile to a mile. I don't even know why he stopped. The front of the van is lots of dents all over the front of the van, but one of the eyewitnesses said that he not only mowed down people, but he also ran over a park bench or a bus bench that I believe there was a woman sitting in. So he was aiming for people. So they got him in custody. They've got the guy in Nashville in custody. And you just go, when's the next one? Where's the next shooting? Where is the next mowing down of pedestrians? And all we can do, you and I, all we can do is try to be aware of our situational aroundness, if you will. What's going on around us? Behind us? In front of us? Are you in a road? Are you on a sidewalk right next to busy traffic where somebody could mow you down? Lots of questions, no answers. But we'll leave it at that. We have many other subjects I want to move on to when we come back. So stick around. We'll be right back.